Amen. Wonderful, wonderful time when we will be able to understand it. Knowing why we have gone through what we have gone through, or going through what we're going through. It will all be worth it in the end if we would only hold on. Only hold on. It has been researched and found to be that there were approximately 3,600 deities in Babylon. That's a whole lot of gods. Whole lot of gods that could not do what our God does. They had to have a sun god, a god that was over evil, over good, fertility. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Our God, the God of heavens and earth, the creator of all things, wasn't enough for those individuals. They had to select a God. They had to make a God. And our God, all-powerful, did not stop them. Let them go ahead and do what they wanted to do. Because he understood that they could do nothing. The scripture was read from Isaiah 46. And we're going to start with verse 1. And we're going to read down through the chapter. And I want you to hear these words, because these words will show exactly what these individuals did not understand as being told. He says, Baal bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beast and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. All the remnant of the house of Israel, you have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I carry you. I have made, I will bear, I will carry and will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales, hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it up. They lift it to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place. And it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling the bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and it will, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart. You are far from righteousness. You who are far from righteousness, I will bring near to my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. And I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel my glory. Verse 8 and 9 again. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. For I am God, and there is none like me. Unmatched by all. Unequal. Unparalleled. Unbeaten. Matchless. Nobody, nothing can compare to, to our God. Nothing but nothing. Nobody. Anyone, nobody. You know, how many times do we have to hear that? That there is one God, the creator of all things. That we don't have to worry about what man can do to us, but we need to worry about who can destroy both body and soul in hell. How many times do we have to hear that? You know, there are people today that say, I'm tired of hearing about God. But yet they're worshiping a God. A God that can do nothing for them. A God that someone has hewn out of stone, carved out of wood, molded by some, you know, material out there or mineral out there, gold or silver or bronze. And they fall down and worship that God, as the scripture says right here. They lift it to their shoulders. They carry it. They set it in its place and it stands there. It cannot move from its place, but yet they're still worshiping that God. It would behoove every man to realize that there is a God, a living God, a God that can save, a God that we cannot put on our shoulders, but yet He can carry us through whatever we're going through in this world. One God, one Father. And we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth, the Bible teaches us. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to examine the scriptures and see what the Word of God says to know that we should not bow down to idols? The idols of the Babylonian people, the children of Israel, thought at times that it would be best for them to bow down to those idols. It is never good for man to bow down to an idol, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. We should do the things that God wants us to do. And as we look at this, let's understand that we need to give way to the power of God. You know, let go and let God. So many times we try to fix problems, situations, where we need to allow God to do what He does. And He's going to do it. We just have to realize that. And we have to wait upon Him and let Him do what He does. Amen. And just stand back and give Him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Amen. Because He is God. Amen. But what happens? Again, I need some help. I just can't see my way through this. Oh, I know what I do. I will create a God. You are going to create a God? to help you get out of the situation you got yourself into? No, why don't you call upon the God? The one that can save. The one that you don't set somewhere and he does not move. See, our God is constantly moving. And he's constantly moving because we are in constant need of what he can do for us. So we find as we look through the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, when we find old Satan here who thinks that he is better than God, more powerful than God, that he can offer things that God cannot give us. See, God is going to give us what we need, and that is what we need to understand. But we find here in the book of Matthew, after Jesus was baptized, we find Satan tempting him. Tempting him with what? Tempting him with the word of God. Not with his own words, but with the word of God. Satan is tempting our Lord and our Savior, the creator of all things. You know, so many thoughts, so many sayings that we can think of. You know, I just, you know, listen to what people say, and I take those things in, and sometimes I use those same sayings myself. For a child to think that he knows better than a parent, and again, you know, I've used this several times over the last few months. I can show you better than I can tell you. And that is the way our God is. When we question him, he shows us better than he's already told us. Amen. Satan had to be shown. He had to be shown. And he was shown not so much as by action, but he was shown by the word, which delivered action. And so we look at his temptations here that he's putting forth toward Jesus. And we get to verse 7. For Jesus says, and again it is, and he said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now who created all things? How are you going to give me something that's already mine? See, Jesus didn't belittle him. Jesus didn't, just say, you know, Satan, let's just sit down and let's discuss this thing. Jesus didn't do that. But what he did do, he says, and he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Satan only wins if we allow him to do so. Amen. You know, he can't take anything from you unless you relinquish it over to him. You know, how many of you woke up this morning And you know, you was ready to praise God. You was ready to give God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, but something happened. And it just brought you down. You know, Satan is like that. He don't want us to be happy. I tell you, and I've said this for a long time, if you got up on the wrong side of the bed, you obviously need to understand the importance of why that wall is there. Push that bed up against that wall, and you only have one side to get out on. Now, I know some of you say, well, I can go out the foot. Go out the foot. That's not a side. Don't let anybody make your day. Your joy that you have, do not allow anyone to take it away from you. Here Jesus is fulfilling what God wanted him to do. To fulfill all prophecy. He was what? He was baptized. Then he was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. But he's victorious. He's victorious because he was not afraid to talk to the devil. See, we talk to the devil every day and we just don't realize it. Some of y'all don't leave home and only two people are there, you and your spouse, one of y'all is the devil. I'm not really saying that. But we talk to him all the time, don't we? We talk to him without really knowing that we're talking to him, and when we should be knowing exactly who we're talking to and do what Jesus did. Be gone, Satan. Be gone, Satan. See, Jesus wasn't afraid to call no man Satan. He called Peter Satan, did he not? We need to understand that there are some people that we need to address as Satan. And tell them, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Because there are so many people that want to be served because they think they're better than everybody else. There's no one in this building any better than anybody else. You may have a better car, a better home. You may have, where is he at? Where's the knob that went off to? You may have some money in your pocket. But that doesn't make you any better than anybody else. So we need to understand that when people offer us things that they really don't have to offer us because they said it's going to be a better life for you, tell them to get behind you. Be satisfied. Be content with what you have. Keep worshiping God and keep serving him because that is what he desires. Do not give in to Satan, but stand firm on the word of God. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed for his disciples because his disciples needed prayer. Do we need prayer today? Do we need to pray for one another today? We look here at why Jesus prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17 and the verse is 15. As he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples. And he says these words unto the Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. We need somebody to pray for us. That we may continue to stand in this crooked world, in this perverse generation, that we may be able to stand and stand firm. Do what is right. Well, what did that scripture say back there in Isaiah, the 46th chapter? You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there for you. Listen to what he says. He tells them to stand. And I believe, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. We need to stand firm. Although our life may have been a life of sin, but now we are children of God, we need to stand firm. Do what is right. Yes, this world is where we are, but this world is not our home. It's not our home. We're just passing through. Just passing through, looking for a better place, looking for a home. That home has been prepared. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my house, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, you know, he would have told them that he's going to go and prepare a place for them. If it wasn't so, he would have told them. So I want you to understand the importance of the prayer of our Lord and our Savior. That this is a sincere prayer. This is a prayer that can be answered. And it has been answered. And as he continues his prayer and he talks about the things of importance, he says this in verse 16, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart. Not set man apart as being a god as the Babylonians did, but set them apart in order to do the work that they have been called to do. Give way to the power of God. He can save us if we would only be saved. Do y'all really know what that means? That means that those people that are in a flood zone and the waters are rising and the boat comes by and they say, get in. And they say, no, I'm going to protect my home. Who's going to protect them? Who's going to protect them? See, we have to, you know, take that hand when that hand is offered. Do the things that are right. See, God can sanctify us if we would only be sanctified for his purpose, for his purpose. There's no God like him. There has never been and there will never be. So therefore, Jesus prayed for his disciples that they may be protected out in an evil world. Because man, they mean us no good. They're always trying to get over. Always trying to get you to act the way they want you to act. So we need somebody praying for us as Jesus prayed for his disciples. We find that when we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and the verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verses 5 and 6. Knowing that God will aid in time of need. Because we serve a loving God. The Bible says here in Hebrews 13 verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say with confidence now, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Oh, people say, oh, he can throw you in jail. Oh, he can fire you from your job. And you know what you get in jail? In some jails anyway. 3 hots and a cot. Clean clothes. If you so desire to have them. How do I know this? I only spent an hour there. But I've talked to many people that have spent more time than I have. And they've told me that. And I went to visit and I've seen it for myself. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Fire you from one job? Why? Because there's another job waiting on you. God will take care of his people. Make a way out of no way. Do you believe that? Give way to the power of God. He's unmatched. His power is unmatched by all. Who can you call to stand against God? No one. Satan, his power is nothing compared to what God can do for us. What he's doing for us. So let's give him all the credit because the credit is due to him. Our God. Our God. In Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22. You know that old saying, every dog has his day. Some have two. In Luke 22, verse 31 through 32, Jesus here, he's talking to Peter. And remember what I said in reference to Jesus talking to Peter. He called Peter Satan at one time. Get behind me, Satan. I want you to understand that Peter, as Peter is talking with Jesus and Peter is telling, Jesus is telling Peter about how he would deny him. And Peter said, no, I will not. Listen to these words. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. And I want to just stop right there just for a moment. You remember, and maybe you don't, but you can go there and read it for yourself. In the book of Job, chapter 1. When the sons of God came before him, and here comes Satan as well. And in this conversation between God and Satan, and he's asked him in reference to where he has been, and to and fro, the area roaming the earth, you know, deceiving men. You know, telling men they can do this and telling men they can do that. And men are just falling for it, even from the very beginning when Eve fell for it. And God asked him, have you considered my servant Job, who's a just and upright man, one that shuns evil? Have you considered him? You know, Satan knows who to mess with and who not to mess with. He knows. He knows exactly what he can do in order to get next to you. He knows. And going back to Luke 22, now you know all that Job went through and you know that Job stood firm. But going back to Luke chapter 22, the Bible says this, Simon, Simon, in verse 31, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Again, he can't do anything unless he has permission to do it. He demanded to have you. Why? Because Peter was strong at one time. Peter was a servant of God. Peter was willing to stand up for Christ, fight for what he believed in. But here Jesus says, but I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. We're talking about, let us rise and build, talking about strengthening our hands. He tells Peter here, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Teach them what's right. Teach them that Satan is going to come up against them. Strengthen them. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows, Peter. Those are the words of Jesus. But Peter is saying, I will go both to prison and to death with you. Was Peter telling the truth? Peter was, at that time, thought he was. But you read on further down there, starting with verse 54, and it tells how Peter denied Jesus. So Satan may have his way, may have his day, but in the end, we can be victorious because of what Peter did in the end. When he looked and seen Jesus there, and Peter, the Bible says in verse 62, and he went out and wept bitterly. He didn't do like Judas did. He didn't go out and hang himself. He wept bitterly. Godly sorrow. And that's what works forth repentance. And Peter recalled the words of Jesus. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You know what Peter is doing right here? Peter is turning again, turning to our Lord and our Savior to do what is right. And we need to understand the importance of that today, that we need to do the things that are right. Yes, we may slip, but we don't have to fall. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's a little icy outside and we slip and we catch ourselves and we jump up real quick. You know, look around and see who was watching. God was watching. And a lot of times we let ourselves go. And there we are, laid out. One time. Two times. Three times. And we realize that we serve a living God. And we get up and we do the things that's right. We need to keep that thought and understand. After Job went through all that he went through, there was still one of Job's friends that pointed out the power of God. And we need that encouragement, don't we? We need somebody to encourage us and tell us, you know, there is a God and he's waiting to save. Do you believe in him? Do you remember that you used to be faithful? You used to do this. You used to do that. That same God that you used to serve is the same God that's waiting on you to serve him today. Amen. Job's friends. You look and you go and you read and you say, they weren't the best of friends. They really were not. Job, you know you've done wrong. But listen to these words right here in Job 36, verse 22. Behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who has prescribed for him his way? Or who can say, you have done wrong? Remember to extol his work, of which men have sung. See, we need to go back and recall the scriptures. We need to go back and recall when they were singing songs of victory. When they were dancing, and because of the greatness of God, because of the power of God, as David danced before him. We need to go back and recall those things. And I'm not telling anybody in here to go out and dance before God. But I'm telling you to remember what God has done and give way to the power that he has. Let God do what he do. He doesn't need our help. We need him. We need his help. And yes, he helps us by others, but he doesn't need us. If you don't want to do it, you can get somebody else to do it. But Job's friends, Job had some friends again, that as we go back and we read what his friends did, the one that talked about the power of God is the one that we need to listen to, and that we need to recall those words, and we need to understand that there is no God, as God has said, like him. Never have been and never will be. Why don't you give him a try? Almost everything that we get has directions. The military, everything comes with a manual. You know, if you fail to read the manual, you're not going to be able to operate that machinery. You're not going to be able to operate that gun. You're not going to be able to do what you do. They even make you, you know, to go out and to go through classes to get a license to push a lawnmower. Are you licensed to push that thing? You know why they ask you that? Because you out there, you just messing up that grass. They say, obviously, you didn't go through the class. There are some instructions how to do everything. God has given us the instructions. But you know what we say? I can't read. Have somebody read it to you. Hey, go get it on tape. Go get it on cassette. Now, I said cassette because Brother Robert, he likes to listen to his cassettes. Go get it. Listen to it. Understand what God can do. And understand what he wants us to do. Today is your day. Do what is right. Know that if you choose to serve God, that you have made the best choice that you will ever make. If you're not a child of his and you want to become one, come and make the confession that you believe that Jesus is his son and that he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary so that you and I may be able to live. Make that confession and be immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, and teach others what they need to do. Maybe you've strayed away. Like Peter, Jesus said, I prayed for you. But when you're turned, again, strengthen your brothers. When you're back in the way, strengthen your brothers. And that's what we need people to do. We need people to come back to the fold and strengthen others. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So we need to do what's right. We need to be the people that God wants us to be. So if you're here today and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.